It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the Racing Boys studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. Welcome to the show. It's a good show today. We got a lot of sound. We're going to run. We're going to talk about a lot of things. You know, we're going to kind of switch it up a little bit on Mondays. You know, we talked about it on Friday. I think what we need to do is have less guests on Monday and play some interviews that were done by some of the pit reporters that have been out in the field talking to some of the winners that ran last weekend. And we'll do that today here on Mostly Motorsports. A little bit later in the show, though, we still will have Lee Spencer on. Can we say what a snoozer Martinsville was? How bad of a race was that? Everybody complaining about no passing, racing not that good. I'm lucky I was at the World of Outlaw race down at Lake Ozark Speedway on Saturday night and didn't put me through the pain. Did you watch any of that race, Austin?
I did not watch the Cup race. I've heard plenty of reviews and people's complaints about it.
Not very good, though, is it?
No, it was, like you said, a snooze fest. And I think you said there's only two cautions in the entire 400-lap race. And, you know, Martinsville usually produces 10 cautions. And, right. I mean, and there was really no passing anyway. So, I mean, it's just not a good look for NASCAR.
Yeah, William Byron, what'd he lead, like 212 laps of the 403 laps that were run at Martinsville? Snoozer, two yellows. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was 1972 when they ran a race there that didn't have any yellows.
Really?
That's how long it's been since they've had such a snoozer at Martinsville. A lot of people are talking about the tires. A lot of people are talking about them shifting, the cold weather. How cold was it there this weekend? Does anybody know?
It was pretty chilly. I think Kirk would probably tell us more because he watched it.
Kirk, how cold was it down there at Martinsville?
It was about as cold as what you... I mean, it was really cold.
I think
it was
upper 30s. Yeah. So not very good at Martinsville this weekend. And William Byron, the first repeat winner of the year. So he picks up his second win of the year. A little disappointed about that, though. I'm going to go back and watch the race just because I need to, because that's what we do here at Mostly Motorsports. So I'll probably go back and watch it, but I'm be honest with you, I'm not sure I'm too excited about going back and watching it.
No, I don't. I think I'll save myself for the highlights and save my 3-4 hours of my life.
Don't waste that time.
No.
Hey, you raced this weekend, didn't you?
But I did.
In a modified, didn't you, up at I-35 Speedway?
I did.
Yeah, how'd they treat you up there?
Well, the calls didn't go my way. I don't know why. I don't.
Hey, I'm going to tell you why, and you know why.
I do know why.
Because you're wearing a Racing Boys fire suit up there.
I proudly wear that around that place.
And let me tell you something. The ownership group and the people that run that racetrack up there are not real big fans of Racing Boys.
No, and I've heard, you know, stories from you that they aren't, but we had a really good weekend, actually. I mean, the results might only show I passed one car in the feature, but...
You felt like you drove better this week?
I was 10 times better than I was last week. You know, I kept going straight the entire time. I made a lot of good passes, and, you know, I kind of got shuffled back on the start, and I found the rubber before everybody else did. And I came from probably 9th or 8th to 6th, and I caught the group in front of me, you know, which was the champion of the track last year, and
right.
I had a run on him, and he was passing a lap car, and it kind of hung me out with the right rear outside the rubber, and I lost all my momentum with two to go. And but just got to give a big shout-out to John Kohler and Jimmy Carey for giving me a really good car again. You know, we found a couple things wrong with it last week, and it just shows we're making improvements every week now.
I'm just a little concerned. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm just a little concerned that you're going to get some bad habits when you get back in that sprint car. You say no.
I say no.
I know.
I'll prove. My goal is to prove you wrong.
I hope you do, man, because I'm just a little concerned about that, you driving a modified. But Because you got to drive it so much different, right?
I mean, it's a little bit different. It's a lot, you know.
Keeping the bars up, wound up, right?
That, I really didn't have a, we found an issue with the suspension last week that kind of limited, you know, it being up on the bars. We got that fixed, and it made it so much easier to drive. I wasn't really having to run the brake as hard and you know, try and get the car, you know, turned around the brake. So it was a lot more kind of like the sprint car race, running off the gas and, you know, keep it kind of hung out, not too much, but... You know, I think it might even make me better in a sprint car. You never know until we go to US 36 on the 23rd, and we'll see how I fare.
Yeah. This weekend, I went down to Lake Ozark Speedway and watched Jacob Allen pick up the World of Outlaws victory at the Jason Johnson Classic this last weekend. You watched that race, didn't you?
I watched the non-wing feature on my way home and sat down on the couch right as the feature for the sprint cars were rolling out.
Unfortunately... And listen, man, I'm not saying they didn't do a valiant effort trying to keep the track from rubbering up, because they work. I'll say this about Lake Ozark Speedway. Every time the track looked like it was going to take rubber, they worked it. They did everything they could down there. It was really cold. They had a lot of cars. They had like 38 wing cars.
About 32 non-wing cars.
32 non-wing cars. So that's
about
a
70
load of,
cars.
That's a load of cars
it
dragging
is.
A bunch of left rears.
Big tires.
There. Yeah. And, you know, at first, I thought it was going to lay rubber at the top. Because in the beginning of the night, everybody was just ripping the top down in one and two.
Right.
And they were dragging that left rear, and I kept looking at it, and I'm thinking, oh, boy, rubber's going to go down right over there in turns one and two. But they kept working the racetrack, and ultimately the rubber came in down at the bottom.
It did, and I've never really seen like Ozark rubber up before. I mean, I went down there last year, and it was Baja 500 rough every night. And, you know, I'm glad to see that they're making, you know, the right steps to make it better. And, you know, we don't want to see rubber, but, I mean, it was really cold. You know, you really can't overwater it. And then, you know, like you said, it took rubber on the bottom. And I've never really seen that place do that, you know. And it was weird that it ended up down there, not like you said on the top. I don't know. I don't know why. I didn't get to watch the, like, the heat races in the dash as close as I should have. And I don't know if that was something that was in there that kind of told us why it did that. But definitely kind of an interesting deal.
Yeah. So the star of the night at Lake Ozark Speedway, and tell me if I'm wrong, Austin, and I'm just going to say.
I know who you're going to say.
It's Robert Ballou.
100%.
Robert Ballou was the showstopper on Saturday night down there. First of all, he started dead last in his B main, and in four laps, and there was probably a good 12, 14 cars. I'm not sure. Let me take a look here. How many cars were in that B main? B main. Oh, hold on. I'm in the wrong section of the B mains. Oh, they don't show the B mains for the.
I'll give you one. I'll find it.
All right, find it. But I'm going to say that there was probably somewhere around 12, 13 cars in that B main. Robert Ballou starts last, and in four laps, he's leading the B main. And it was funny. I was standing with some guys that had traveled all the way to Lake Ozark Speedway from New Jersey. They were really cool guys, by the way. And we were standing there talking, and I said, keep an eye on that 12 car. He's starting dead last. He's going to put on the show, and I wouldn't be surprised if he wins this B main. And in four laps, he was leading the B main, walked the dog on him, and picked up the win in the B. Then he starts dead last in the A, and he gradually works his way up through the field and ultimately leads the A main. Is Robert Ballou maybe one of the best non-wing sprint car drivers in the world?
I think he is. He started 12th in the B main and won it.
12th,
yeah. And, you know, it just shows of how good. The first time I ever saw Robert Ballou race was 2015 at Lakeside Speedway with the USAC National Sprint Car Series.
When he put all four
up
in the fluff?
Yeah, that was, I mean, that was just remarkable. I mean, he just killed him that night. And, you know, ever since then, I paid really close attention to him. And he's a bad man for a reason. I mean, the dude's just nuts.
He's crazy.
And he's really good. He makes the right moves when he needs to. And, yeah, I mean, I have to agree with you. He's probably one of the best, if not the best, non-wing driver right now.
Yeah. Only other person I could put in his category would be Brady Bacon.
Yeah, I think he's a close competitor with him.
Right. But let me tell you something. the way that he worked his way up through the field in that A main, he was sitting there at sixth and seventh for a bit, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, he's leading the race.
Probably explains why his right rear tire's down to the cords.
Do you have that somewhere? Can you pull that picture up so we can see that right rear tire? Let me tell you something. I've seen a lot of right rear tires give up over the years. I've seen a lot of them slicked off, but I've never seen a tire that looked like Robert Blue's tire. It is unbelievable what his tire looked like at the end of that A main. And oh, by the way, Robert Blue will be on the show with us tomorrow. So look at this tire, folks. Look at that. Have you ever seen a tire wear like that, Austin?
I've never seen one happen. I mean, it's weird because like the outside
took a
two
chunk out of it.
Yeah, like the outside two lugs are there, and then it just like peeled the tread right off the top of the tire.
But it's funny; it doesn't go all the way around the tire like that.
No, unless I don't know what the front side looks like. I'm assuming it's not. I'm assuming it's all intact, or they would take a picture of it. But I mean, that's just odd. He kind of slammed Hoosier there for their poor tire quality after price increases.
No, no way. Who was our guest last week that was kind of who was
Brent Marks?
Brent Marks, he was kind of on them a little bit about the Hoosier tires. And you know what? We're working on trying to get somebody from Hoosier on the show. Will we get somebody on from Hoosier to join us on the show? I'm not sure.
Well, we're working on it.
We're working on it.
I think they've been pestered enough with complaints. I don't know if they want to open themselves up to any more.
Well, but, you know, they need to get out and openly talk about what they're going to do to fix the problem.
They need to. I mean, they can't. It's all rumors right now. And all I've heard a new rumor after last week's show, you know, that now it's, you know, it's on a budgeting issue. And the reason why we're having price increases is because the way that Hoosier works on the way they get the rubber is the more profit margin that they have is the more rubber that comes into their plants. Mm. Well, best way to do it is check your profit margins up and try and sell some tires so you get more rubber in. So, I mean, then we heard a rumor about having no chemical for the tire or this for the tire. I mean, it's right. Just they need to kind of finally come out and just give us a flat reason why and what's going on and why they're doing the certain things they are doing to it.
Sam said that was after the B main with that tire, not the A main. I'm not sure about that. You might be right, Sam. I'm not sure about that. But if that's just a B main, if that tire was chewed up that bad after a B main, then they've got some real problems.
Yeah, that's, I mean, 12 laps, this should not do that to a tire.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. So Jacob Allen picked up the win in the World of Outlaws. It's his second win as a World of Outlaw driver. You know, it's funny, I always thought that he had more wins than that. I don't know why I thought that.
No, he's been on the road for a long time, him and Logan have, and you think that, you know, Logan's had a lot of success, and I think he's won probably 20, 25 races, and you think Jake would be right there with him, and he's not. He won one race at Dodge City a couple years ago, and you know, he backed it up this weekend for win number two.
Right, right. It looked like Brady was going to win his first World of Outlaw event, though, didn't it? Didn't you think he was going to win that thing?
He was on track too, and then he just
got up out of the rubber.
That he got stuck in lap traffic, and then Jacob Allen was kind of determined to not let that one slip away, like he kind of did earlier in the race, and kind of got his elbows out and moved Brady out of the way. And unfortunately, I mean, it was going to happen to Brady no matter what because he had a right rear go down on the last lap. So
yeah,
I mean, who knows what could have happened
tire
if he didn't.
Tire management was a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Do we want to go with CJ Larry first? Is that what we want to do? Because we talked about non-wing racing first. Do we want to do that first, Austin? Should we go with that? All right. Here's the interview after the race. CJ Larry picks up the win with the Extreme Power Eye non-wing race at Lake Ozark Speedway on Saturday night.
CJ, a heck of a race there for you. You led there in the beginning, then we had red flags, then you made your way back up to the front. But walk us through that race and what happened there at the end after that final restart.
Man, sometimes being a leader is not always the best thing. You know, I think Brady had the best car on or there in the feature for sure. You know, he could run where I couldn't, really where anybody could. So when he spun out down there, I done gave up two spots. So I felt like we were kind of done. But the racetrack got really racy. Ended up taking a little bit of rubber there in three. But me and Robert had a spirited battle. It was a lot of fun. So racetrack was tricky, man. It really threw a wrench into my plan anyway. But I'm just happy to put the 77 back in victory lane. Bill Michael, Kodiak Products, just everybody that puts in work on this this deal to keep us running up and down the road. You know, last night rained out, which sucked. You know, I had to pull to Missouri to get rained out, but tonight makes it all worth it.
Absolutely. And you guys, he mentioned he had a wrench in his plan there, but he was able to get that out of there and get the win here tonight at Lake Ozark. Let's hear it one more time for CJ Leary, your winner.
And there you have it, CJ Leary with his post-race victory lane interview right after the race Saturday night. Good action, a lot of good cars down there, 32 non-wing cars. 38 World of Outlaws sprint cars were down there as well. What did you think about the outlaw race, Austin? What did you think about it?
It was pretty good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. What did you think about Brady? Another bad night for Brady in the wing car.
I'll get into it.
I mean, first of all, he spins out leading the non-wing race. And, you know, that had to leave a bruise on his little buddy.
It had to. Don't get me wrong. I like Brady.
I love Brady.
Brady's one of the best.
Love Brady.
But the car owners of his wing car,
yeah,
that was all karma coming to Brady. I mean,
say why.
So the people that own his wing car, they don't own. They're a big staple in Sweet Springs Motorsports Park. So yep. That's the Hink family.
That's the same people he drives the Micro for,
yes,
right?
Same people. And they're just, I don't know how to really describe it, they're just a different type of people. You know, it's, they didn't really enjoy me or like me. When I went down and raced Sweet Springs, they always accused me of cheating and just anything under the sun. So they're not my biggest fans, and
right.
They let me know that. And so yeah, anytime that something doesn't go their way,
I
really enjoy
them out
it.
Because they didn't like you much.
Yeah, I mean they made it vocal, and I mean whatever.
You mean
man,
they talked a lot of crap on you?
Yeah, but I mean they didn't win a championship. I did, so I can't really complain about it. But yeah, anytime something goes wrong for the Hink family, I really enjoy it. So
yeah, so
I hated it for Brady, but
well, you know what? The problem is that he slipped up out of the rubber, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been, you know what? I thought Brady Bacon had won a World of Outlaw event. He hasn't won one yet.
Well, he ran second twice.
Yeah.
You think he's won one, and, you know, he's been racing wing cars for almost 12 years now, so.
Yeah. Well, and then he had that right rear explode on him, too. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So who would have known? If he didn't slip out of the rubber, would he still have made it across the line, or would he have already, you know, blown? You don't know.
Let me say this, that I was told last night by Leon Bacon. He was standing up there with me for a little while. He told me that was a brand new car, had never been raced before that night last night.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Yeah. Brand new car. So, you know, that's always tough to take a brand new car out and compete at that level. And Brady,
yeah.
That just shows you what kind of driver Brady really
is.
Yeah, he's just that good, right? All right, we've got a post-race interview with Jacob Allen after his win at the Jason Johnson Classic down at Lake Ozark Speedway, and this is his interview after the race.
Ben, awesome job, man. That was awesome. Talked to you before the feature event, and you seem like you had the confidence to do it. Now, I think back 2 years ago to Dodge City Raceway Park, when you got out of the car, it just didn't feel like you had just won your first win. Didn't feel like you won your first outlaw race. Like, nobody in the stands was even pumped. And we're here tonight. We are in sprint car country. Make some noise one more time for Jacob Allen. This one feels right, my friend.
Yeah, it does. That was, you know, I feel like I've been known to be Mr. Nice Guy. And I've had a lot of, I feel like Brady's probably won a lot of races in his career. And, you know, I just made a bad decision by going to the top in lap traffic. And he snuck underneath me. And I just felt like, man, I couldn't run second and just lose like that. I've lost so many times and fell backwards. And, you know, I just kind of had to move him out of my way a bit and do what I felt like I needed to do to win the race, really.
How important is this one? I mean, winning the Jason Johnson Classic, driving the Bobby Allen throwback car, how important is this win to you right now and your team, more importantly?
Yeah, like I was telling you, I mean, Jason Johnson's program is a family-based program. Our team is a family-based program, and I just have nothing respect for their whole family and their team. And to continue on to be out here on the tour, I think it shows a lot of great characteristics from their whole family. My dad, Jack, Tyler, Logan, Ron, Ben, I mean, those are my guys. they just have been through everything with me, and you know, I just really can't thank them enough. I mean, they could easily give up on me, and they don't. So Hannah too, I mean, all the support she gives me and believes in me, doesn't matter if I run first or last, she always loves me, so that's awesome. And Mark Pell, Pell's Tire Service, they've been a part of the Allen family for a very long time. So told Jack I'd get him a win. I did that, and 15,000 is super sick. So I'm very blessed and very thankful.
Take me through those last couple of laps. Obviously, you got behind you were the leader. You got up to the back of the field. You knew you had to try and go somewhere different to get by those guys. And when you did, that's when Brady pounced and got back by you and put you in a pretty tough spot there.
Yeah, that was a very tough spot. I mean, you can't really mess around with lap cars with the World of Outlaws in. I told myself, like, man, you know, I don't see how they're going to go around the outside, but I was really messing around with that lap car for way too long, and I just, you know, made a move that I thought was the right thing, and it wasn't because he went right around me, and then I looked up at the board, and it was like 5 to go. I was like, man, I got to make something happen. He might not like me for this, but no disrespect. I just had to do what I had to do, you know.
All right, make some noise one more time for Jacob Allen. Bobby's here as well. An awesome win for this team.
Well, it's good to see him pick up his second win with the World of Outlaws. Jacob Allen picking up that win down at Lake Ozark Speedway. Good stuff down there this weekend. Really huge crowd. I was shocked by the size of the crowd down there this weekend, to be honest with you. It was so cold. And, you know, when you're down by the Lake of the Ozarks, it seems like the moisture in the air is colder than normal because of the water from the lake. You ever feel like that, Austin?
I've never noticed it, but now you say that, I think
it's a little
true.
Chilly down there sometimes. So anyway, it was a good time. I was looking forward. I really enjoyed myself going down there. I hung out with Bob Baker from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, Max Grogan. Hung out with them at their event trailer, or I should say event pop-up. They were selling tickets for the drawing for the sprint car with the Hall of Fame, so it was a lot of fun down there hanging out with those guys. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to play a little more sound. We've got more from Logan Wagner, Buddy Kofoit, and Justin Sanders. That's all next right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Spirit Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort. Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the Racing Boys studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And we've been talking about a lot of the racing that was going on around this area for the most part. And where did Logan Wagner win?
Port Royal. Saturday night.
Tell me a little bit. Did you watch some of that race? Because, you know, I didn't.
I did not. The only race I watched Saturday while I was racing was the Dirt Vision race at Lucas. No, I said Lucas Oil. Lake Ozark.
They're both LOS.
I know. It'll throw you off sometimes.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. We have the interview that Logan Wagner did after winning at Port Royal, and this is his interview. After winning that race at Port Royal this last weekend.
Yeah, good to see you again, buddy. There's the feature winner sticker and your feature hat, courtesy of Hoosier Racing Tire. And back-to-back, congratulations.
Right. You know, I can't say enough for this EMCO team. In the track crew, they stuck it out, and everyone in the fans tonight, you know, you've been through thick and thin, rain, snow, sleet. But ultimately proves that... We do have a really good car, and we look forward to going into these bigger shows here at the end of April and May that pay a whole bunch. But felt good to hold off Macri. I ain't going to lie, man. It was a breath of fresh air to cross the checkered flag in front of him. Can't say enough about how good he's been driving. And also the 33, getting off turn two, I felt myself get up into a car. I'm not sure who it was, but... It was a lot of fun, man. We've had a good car, and it just shows.
Win number 13 in your career here at Port Royal, tying you know with some of the all time greats here, Barry Camp, your father, with a couple more guys. Yeah, Barry Camp. That has to feel good when you're moving up the ladder here when it comes to all time wins.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, I used to go fishing with Barry Camp when I was a kid, so didn't know that, but you know, I'm certain that if this Zemco team can have a good car throughout the year, I'm certain we should be here a little bit more often. But again, thank you, John and Pee-wee. They're at home watching right now. They just didn't want to bear the weather. But I got to thank all my sponsors. I got to thank LD2 Catering. These guys are there. Yeah, yeah, buddy. Santa Brothers, All Things Automotive, Zemco, Mac McGee. I didn't see him tonight. Zemco Speed Equipment. But it takes everyone to put this thing together. CES Engineering. Those guys are going to be over for the 50. But thank you to everyone who stayed and bought T-shirts. And thank you for the crew and John and Pee-wee for putting me here.
And thank you and to the team for coming out here today. Congratulations on going back-to-back here on the season.
Thank you, guys.
Logan Wagner, your winner here tonight. Logan, we're going to make
it. All right, there you have it. Logan Wagner after his win at Port. And, man, it was good to see. Buddy Kofoit finally picked up his first 410 win. That was his first 410 win, isn't it? That he had at Lincoln last week? Or is that not?
I don't think it's his first. I think he's won. You're going to make me think about this now.
I'm sorry if I put you on the spot there.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I think he's won before. I don't. He might have won in Kevin Swindell's car. I'm not 100% sure.
Right, right.
I'll look into it.
All right, we'll look into that. We'll figure that out. But here is Buddy Kofoid. He picked up a 410 win at Lincoln last week, and this is his interview after that race.
Band on, Buddy. First of all, welcome to Victory Lane here at Lincoln Speedway.
No, it's good to be here for sure. You know, first Central Pennsylvania win is pretty badass. You know, I owe it all to Bernie and Betsy and Brad and Blade for all their hard work. You know, we came out here for a reason, and we want to get good out here. And I feel like, you know, this is definitely a step in the right direction. I don't know if all you guys could hear, but motor wasn't running up to where it should be, and you know, we still got it done. So, you know, our speed was there, and I felt like our speed was there all race, and it's just hard to get going. And I'm glad there wasn't any yellows, otherwise we probably wouldn't have won that race. So track turned out awesome, right up on the fence, and you know, I could pull down and run the middle if I wanted to. And but you know, I've drove a lot of great sprint cars, and this is definitely one of them. So I can't thank, you know, Bernie and Betsy again, Brad and Blade, and Indy Race Parts, and this Maxim chassis, and Charlie Garrett engine rips, and you know, FK shocks, all a package that I'm really comfortable with and love. So glad to get it done for 6,900 big ones.
Well, I tell you what, you came out here, you've been here like fairly frequently this year, just getting more laps, and you've been fast, you've been quick, a couple of runner-up finishes, I believe, and tonight it just all came together, but against a stellar field.
Yeah, no, Central Pennsylvania always brings, you know, really great cars, and, you know, 43 cars is a great field, and Danny's been, you know, really good out here. He's one of the best out here, so it's good to beat him straight up and you know, kind of win in posse land. So, you know, I've been all over the country, and the Pennsylvania fans are definitely one of the best for sure.
Well, we certainly appreciate that for sure. This is a very special night for the people here at Lincoln Speedway, all the regular competitors, the fans, and especially the family of the late Weldon Sterner. Weldon was such a great part of this sport. He was a car owner for many, many years. He actually at one time was a part owner of this Speedway. He's the guy we're honoring here tonight. And, of course, his car numbers were 69. That signifies that's where you get the $6,900 for your win tonight. Pretty good payday.
Yeah, hell yeah, it is. $6,900 is really good. And, you know, it's cool to win a special race like this. You know, I haven't been in PA very long, but I know the Weldon Sterner Memorial is, you know, definitely a good race to win. And it's cool to, you know, have his family here still putting it on and giving us drivers something good to chase.
Well, you know, you and I talked a couple of minutes earlier tonight in the pit area, and I was kidding you. I said, we're going to have to make you a regular Pennsylvania Posse driver here. And I know your schedule doesn't allow that, but boy, it's sure exciting when you bring this 71 car here to Lincoln.
Yeah, no, like I said, we're coming here for a reason to, you know, to expose myself to, you know, Pennsylvania, to the tracks out here, and so we can prepare for the big races later on. And but also, you know, these are really good guys to learn from. So, you know, I think it's been working out, and we've been fast here. Hopefully we can roll on to Babs tomorrow and get her done again.
Well, your learning curve certainly has got very, very shortened here tonight. You did an outstanding job. 6,900 to win, as I mentioned. Also, compliments of PPC Lubricants, a $50 gift certificate. And, of course, you get the prestige of putting your name in the record books as a winner here at Lincoln Speedway.
Yeah, and like I said, just a win here, period, is really special. But also, to, you know, for the first win to be the Weldon Sterner, big payday is really cool. So, you know, again, thank you to all the fans and you know, Lincoln Speedway for, you know, not giving up and making this track really good, and to everyone that helps put on this race.
Well, again, you did a great job. You're a winner here tonight. Let's make somebody else a winner by pulling the winning 50-50 ticket.
All right, there you have it. Buddy Kofoid picking up the win at Lincoln, a 410 win. I'm not really sure if he's ever won another 410 race.
He has. Kirk, correct me on that. He won the Wild Wing Shootout, I believe, a year or two ago out there in the AME electric car.
Oh, okay.
He won two races.
All right, good enough. Good to know. That's why Kirk is right over there. He's the man with the plan. Kirk remembers more than we'll ever forget. You know that?
Kirk's my human, like, encyclopedia.
Well, he's been that way for me for 22 years. So, yeah. All right, and then finally, we've got our last interview. It's Justin Sanders picked up a 360 win at Placerville this weekend, and we've got the interview after that victory at Placerville this last weekend.
He goes back to back. He's now a four-time tribute to Al Hines, feature event winner Justin. A heck of a move there on that last restart. Talk to us about your game plan going in there. You and Shane had such a good battle. Was it just time running out? You knew you had to go?
Yeah, pretty much. That was a little dirtier than I wanted it to be, you know, to make that pass. But he's probably not happy with me, and I probably wouldn't be either. But I had to get going. I had to make a pass. I had to get to the lead and make clean laps and almost gave it away for two corners right there. And then got a rock underneath the brake pedal. I couldn't hit the brakes very good, so made it a little tough. But, no, you know, got to thank these guys again, Paul Silva, Kevin, everybody that Kevin, Butch, Hayden, Doug, everybody that helps us. You know, like I said, Works Limited, Factory Kane, Smith Titanium, just like I said, everybody that helps out. I've had a really good weekend with these guys, and like I said, can't thank them enough. And like I said, I'm happy to get this win, but just could have wished I could have done a little cleaner.
Talk to us a little bit about, we see you bounce around from a handful of different cars this year. You've now won here in two different cars. Is it much of a process for you as a driver to reacclimate to different guys working on it, different engine combos, different shock combos?
No, because I got, you know, three really good cars with three really good guys working on them, and you know, guys that maintain and set up and everything, so makes my job a lot easier. You know, I got my seats pretty close where I want them, and you know, steering wheel feel and everything, and then you know, kind of just let Paul do his job. And you know, me and Dell work together pretty good here on Saturday night, so hope to keep picking off the wins, and just keep rolling.
Tonight's feature event winner, Justin Sanders.
All right, there you have it, Justin Sanders, after picking up his 360 win at Placerville last weekend. And, again, we want to congratulate all the winners, Jacob Allen, C.J. Leary, Logan Wagner, Buddy Kofoit, Justin Sanders, for their wins. It's a great weekend of racing. Also, Johnny Scott picked up the win at 81 Speedway with the MLRA late models, and we're hearing that it took a little rubber over there, didn't it?
It took rubber about quarter of the way in the feature.
You knew somebody that was racing over there, right?
I did.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
They said it was. It was starting to blow dust and get really hard in the heat races, and it just sealed over and took rubber for the feature.
Aaron Morant drives Bob Morton, and what's the other guy's name?
Mike Mize.
Mike Mize. He drives a car for him over there. You know, I'm shocked that they didn't have that on Mav Plus.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look at next week's races at Lucas Oil Speedway. They'll be on Mav.
Hold on now. Are you sure about that? Because I'm thinking they race Davenport Speedway on the 14th.
Oh, you know what? It's the 23rd.
Then they go to 34 Raceway on the 15th. And then they race again at 34 Raceway on the 16th. And then April 22nd and 23rd there at Lucas Oil Speedway.
That's what I meant.
Right. Yeah.
I got my dates off.
Well, it happens sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, juggling a lot.
Man, there's a lot going on here, right? So, again, we want to congratulate all the winners that picked up their wins last weekend. Joe Duvall wins the USRA race down at Vivian, Louisiana. That was a good win. Steven Shebester picks up the USL race at Meeker, Oklahoma as well. That was a pretty good one. Oh, Shebester, he's a pretty good racer, isn't he?
Yeah, I know his little brother Seth. I raced with him on iRacing last night. I didn't know much of his older brother Steven, and he kind of came on the 305 scene last year, and it's kind of taken it by storm, and I think he's going to carry it on for one more year, sounds like.
Yep. All right, we're going to take one more break. When we come back, Lee Spencer, Racing Boys Own, is going to join us. We're going to talk a little bit about what happened at Martinsville this weekend. So many people are saying this might be one of the worst races that we've ever seen at Martinsville. We'll talk to Lee Spencer about that here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine.
friction, and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Spirit Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
39 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott, along with Austin O'Neill, our producer here at Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Joining us now on the show is the sister of the Racing Boys, Lee Spencer. How you doing, Lee?
Hello.
Hey, there you are, Lee. How you doing?
Oh, just working away.
So let me ask you. So many people are talking about how lackluster of a race that was at Martinsville. You've been going to these races for I don't know how many years. Where would you rate this out of the races that you've seen at Martinsville on a scale?
The worst.
The worst ever.
Absolutely the worst.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, four cautions. And I mean, I know it was like, you know, part of that was just the fact that they cut it by 100 100 laps, but I don't think that was the reason why. I think it was cold. I thought the cars are so much like IROC cars where nobody has an advantage to move around, that it just, the tires didn't fall off because it was freezing. I mean, it was sleeting in the stands. It was not ideal situation. And I can't remember sitting in, where I was sitting at the racetrack and never, ever, ever, anticipating that something was going to happen or not happen. I mean, it just nothing, I've got a perfect view of turns one and two, and not once. I mean, guys couldn't even get to guys' bumpers. I mean, it was just, I don't even know what I saw on Saturday night.
All right. So you've went around, you had a chance to talk to some of the drivers after the race. And what are the drivers pointing to? Maybe the one thing that made it, is it the cool conditions? Is it shifting? Is it the tires? What is the number one thing that is holding them back from passing at Martinsville last weekend?
I just came flat out and asked Joey Logano about an hour ago, is it the speed? Do we need speed? And he goes, Lee, he goes, if you ask a driver if they want more horsepower, they're going to always tell you yes, right? And I mean, I don't have to tell you that, but I don't think they've got enough speed to move around. But he said it's not just going to be one thing, it's going to be a work in progress. And every week that when they go to the racetrack, they just – they're never going to know specifically until they get there because it's a moving target and just trying to figure out what this car needs and, how you're going to get the most out of this car. I mean, I just don't think that they've had enough laps or enough time with this car to figure out how to maximize the car's potential. I mean, it's been great on intermediate tracks, but, it just absolutely blew chunks on Saturday.
Do you think that NASCAR looked at the new car and thought, man, we've had so much success with this car over the first part of this season that they just thought everything was going to be all right at Martinsville? You think that they were a little naive a little bit?
Well, let's go back to Richmond. Richmond hasn't been good in forever, right? It just has not been good. I mean, I don't even bother going there anymore. And, I hate to say that, but I don't even go to the racetrack because it has been so lackluster for me that it's just if I can't go and see good racing, I just might as well watch it from my couch. And that's just kind of how I feel. So I don't even I love Richmond, great town, but I just don't even bother with it. Martinsville has all, Martinsville, I've never lost that luster, right? I mean, going there in itself, you feel like you're going to Wrigley or Fenway. It's just an iconic place.
Yeah.
It was so cold. And my heart goes out to the fans. If you went there and you stuck out 400 laps in the cold, in the rain, in the sleet, because it started pouring before the race, so these people are probably wet anyway.
Right.
And then they're sitting out there in that cold the whole time. God bless them. I just, their fortitude is better than mine.
Yeah.
Because I was in the nice warm press box, even though the windows were fogged up and we couldn't see anything. But the racing itself, it's. Phoenix hasn't been good for a long time, right? And if Chase Briscoe doesn't have his, last lap antics going on, then that we would have never talked about that race past Monday. And I think these cars need a little more horsepower. I think trying to cut the horsepower as much as they did is not making for the best racing. Intermediate tracks, it's a field day. It's fabulous. We bitched and moaned about cookie cutter this and cookie cutter that. We don't have that problem anymore.
Yeah.
Atlanta was one of, on your toes the whole time. I know the drivers were. If I was a driver, I would have been emotionally and physically exhausted after that race. I think Talladega is going to be, fun when we get there, but, they've got to fix this situation on short tracks, and Bristol's going to be its own animal because it's on dirt. But these last two short tracks, everybody loves short tracks. It's the bread and butter of racing, and It was rough.
Let me ask you, Lee, and maybe I'm confused, because they started out with the 700 horsepower motor. Did they run the smaller motor at Martinsville this weekend?
I don't know what, I mean, I'm not sure what specific package, because, you know, usually it's not even something you really look into. I mean, now
right.
You got to go back and look into it and really delve into that, because, you know, it's just something that, you know, we got to find a solution, because we can't go back and have a race like that in the penultimate race before the championship. And, you know, I'm worried about Phoenix too, because Phoenix is a season finale, and it just isn't set up to be the kind of barn burner that Homestead is. I know that all the drivers say that they want to move the finale around, so it's not always the same and it's not always predictable, but I know we have a problem with geography and where we can hold it, you know, what time of year, you know, where you need to go. You're very limited in all of that, but you know, Homestead put on a great season finale, and Phoenix is just, I hate to say it, it's just ho-hum.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, you know, it's going to be a learning process going through what we're going through right now with this new car, right? We've got to figure out
absolutely
what each racetrack really needs. And I think that we just got to give NASCAR a little bit of a break and just give them time to learn.
Oh, I'm not on them,
yeah.
Right? I don't want to come across as that, because, I mean, I think this is a work in progress.
Yeah, right.
But I'm, you know, I'm not sure what, you know, I don't know how you can screw up a place like Martinsville, because it's just such an iconic track, and it just has always put on a hell of a show. But it was, you know, the 200 cars during most of that race were checked, you know, when Chase and William were racing with each other, they had checked out, what, 4 seconds ahead of the field? I mean, it was like, you know, they were good straightaway ahead of Logano. It was, it was weird. The complexion of the race was just strange. It just didn't look anything like a short track, other than the fact that they were all, you know, bunched in together, but they couldn't, you know, you really couldn't make a move. On the other side of that, you had somebody like Ross Chastain who found a way, and I don't know if it was just rooting or gouging. I'd like to talk more to him about it, you know, how he did pass. I mean, Austin Dillon said he passed. I mean, Ross came from 27th to finish 5th at the end of the, you know, he got one position off Kurt on the last lap. But, you know, when you were looking at the leaders, you didn't have that kind of movement up at the front. And then you see guys like Denny Hamlin that were completely lost, who's usually a baller at that track.
Right. And you think about it, you look, there was only 4 leaders during that race, right? William Byron led 212 laps. Chase Elliott led 85 laps. It looks like Ross Chastain. No, hold on. I take that back. Ryan Blaney.
Austin Dillon led a lap like under. It was like
one lap,
you know, under caution.
One lap.
I mean, it wasn't something that was. Yeah.
You know who?
It really wasn't a competitive lap.
You know, out of all the, I listened to a lot of NASCAR radio this morning, and the one person that was really the most vocal about the race last weekend was Ryan Blaney. He was very vocal about his displeasure with the race last weekend.
At Richmond or Martinsville?
At Martinsville. I don't know.
And I just, I listened to him a little bit too, and he just, you know, he was really having he had a tough time at Richmond, right? I mean, because they were just having, they've got to find some sort of way. And I just, you know, this is way above my pay grade, and I, you know, don't have a background in engineering, but you got to give these guys an opportunity to be able to make moves and pass. And it just, you don't want to think that this car is even more aerodependent than the other one, but it was like, if you got out front, it was really hard to run down the leader.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I think everybody's going to try to forget about Martinsville, and now they're looking at Bristol and the dirt race. What do you think we're going to see at Bristol with the dirt?
Hopefully. hopefully Larson and Bell don't take each other out early in the race. I mean, honestly, you know, what a cluster was that? Your two top dirt guys, and they take each other out and don't even make it a contest. I mean, and you've seen how the way Larson's run the last couple of races. I mean, he really needs something to turn things around too. So I'm hoping that you get a situation where he and Bell and I hate to see hate that Stuart Friesen doesn't have a ride for this race, but you know, maybe something will pop between now and the weekend. But you know, guys like Stenhouse, this should be a great place for Stenhouse, and he just said he didn't get it last year, and which is kind of sad, but because he's always been great at Bristol, and you know, he's got a dirt background. So and William Byron is going and running at Volunteer Speedway and Larson's the dirt race that he's putting on this week, so he's going to get a little more seat time behind the wheel of a dirt car. It's going to be fun to watch. I mean, yeah. I think that they've made some changes. Certainly it's going to be at night, which will, you know, why you'd have a dirt track race during the day is beyond me. So that part of it's been changed, which, you know, will be interesting. And I just hope that, you know, this is more of a dirt style race than what we saw last year. And we don't have, you know, the torrential rains. Unfortunately, you know, rain is in the forecast and you're up in the mountains and it's spring. So, but, you know,
it is what it is.
Hopefully they'll figure it out.
You know, it seems to me that Christopher Bell is starting to get a little more, I'm not going to say he's equal to Kyle Larson, but Kyle Larson hasn't been running that well this year. And Christopher Bell, his program has picked up a little bit. They run 19th, 20th last weekend. Neither one of them are happy with that finish, obviously. But they both.
Yeah, but Bell was up in the top five
for a long time.
Yeah. Throughout the whole time at Martinsville, too. He got screwed on pit road. So I really don't blame him for that. You know, that was a race. That was pit crew situation for him, but he really looks sporty. I mean, and I think things are starting to click for him. And you know, gosh, you and I have been saying this for 4 years. We couldn't wait till Larson was in competitive equipment and Bell got up to the big leagues and we would have the Christopher and Kyle show in NASCAR.
Yeah. You know what? I've said it on this show. There's no love lost between those two guys.
Why should there be? You know, they're
right. They used to be friends, but now after they've ran into each other and.
I think Christopher Bell and Chase Briscoe used to be friends. I don't think that I don't think that. Bell's not the type of guy that's going to get hammered and sing karaoke until the wee hours of the morning. That's just not Christopher Bell.
That's
right?
True. So, you're very true.
You know, you're not going to find him closing down the bar. So, I think that, you know, you get to be a certain age and when you get to that lifestyle, that's not where Bell's at.
Right. Hey, did you have a chance to watch the World of Outlaws at the Jason Johnson Classic this weekend? I was down there. It was cool.
No, and I know who won, but I haven't watched it yet, so don't fill me in.
Okay. All right. I'll leave it alone.
You know, anytime Jacob Allen wins, you know it had been exciting, right? Because it's like he's not on your list of people, but, you know, after watching what's been going on in Formula One this year, anything's possible.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's only his second win with the World of Outlaws. I could have swore he had more wins than that.
Yeah, but from what I understood, wasn't Brady close to getting his first win?
Brady should have won that race, but he's hate to tell
Black
you.
Tire?
No, he slipped up out of the rubber.
Oh.
Yeah. No, it was rubber down.
I mean, I love to see these kids that I've, you know, you watch grow up and then have that opportunity. And it's like, man, so close, so close.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Lee, what do you got coming up on Racing Boys?
Well, I asked Logano today what his feelings were about Ty Gibbs because, he's been that brash young punk that comes up through, you know, through JGR and has... My God, you know, Logano was so hated by the fans. He's had to work so hard to reestablish his reputation over the last decade. And, So he had some words of wisdom for young Master Ty.
Oh, well, let me tell you something. I like Ty Gibbs more now than I've ever liked him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll punch you in the face.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. I like rebel rousers. I enjoy it, and I think we need more of that in NASCAR.
Oh, no. I mean, I think it's great for the sport and, you know, what have you, but practice what you preach, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because he's living on both sides of the fence right now.
Exactly. Talking out of both sides of his mouth.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Lee.
Praise Jesus. I'll wreck you anyway.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? God loves me, and he isn't going to care if I crash you. That's all I got to say about that. Lee, thanks so much. We'll talk to you Saturday.
Rock on, my brother.
All right. Thank you. There you have it. Lee Spencer joining us on the show. And we'll take that. Take that phone call there, Austin. And, that's my thing about Ty Gibbs. You know what? He is living on both sides of the fence right now, right? He's talking a little crap on people, but at the same time, praise the Lord. Who do we got? Caleb? All right, let's go to Caleb. Caleb's calling in on the show. He was at 81 last weekend. Caleb, how you doing, buddy? Caleb, are you there? Hello, Caleb.
I think we lost him.
We lost him. I got him punched up there. Oh, here we go. Hey, Caleb, how you doing?
Hey, good, good, good.
Hey, man, thanks for calling in. How was that race at 81? Somebody told me it took rubber.
Yeah, man, probably about a third of the way through the feature it did. But, I mean, to be honest, the front third, Gustin was really coming after Johnny Scott there. Quite a few lead changes in traffic, but nothing ever official, so technically Johnny Scott ended up leading every lap of that race.
Yeah. So did it rubber down on the bottom?
It was pretty single file around the bottom.
Yeah, yeah. How many cars did they have out there? Good car count?
36.
That's good.
Yeah, the night before, it was good. The night before, they had 39. 36 of them came back. I did see that there was, I think there was 4 or 5 DNS from the feature the night before, but 36 quality cars. I mean, to be completely honest, when you have Rodney Sanders and Chase Youngham running B features, you know that you got some pretty decent cars there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Was the crowd pretty good? Was it cold there?
So it was actually in the 60s the entire night.
Really?
But we had a real strong wind out of the south-southeast.
So it made,
and
made
to be completely
cold.
Honest, it was the crowd was the biggest at any race I've ever been to at 81.
Really?
It was loaded.
No kidding. Yeah. Wow, man, that is unbelievable. I'm glad to hear that. Did Gordy Gundaker, did he put any kind of challenge on Johnny Scott there towards the end?
At the very end, he was running second, and he had, after a caution restart, he had a slight charge, but, you know, Johnny just pretty much stayed glued to the bottom there, and Gundaker really couldn't give him anything.
Yeah, all you had to do is stay in the rubber, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what we had.
Yeah, after that last caution was on lap, like, 28 or so, it was a giant pile up coming out of four, there wasn't a whole lot left. The 13 cars finished under power, and Gundaker just couldn't get under him.
You know, it's funny. I noticed that there was a lot of DNFs in that race, wasn't there? I'm looking at it. I'm going up, and I think only 13. Brendan Willard was the last car running in that race. There was 13
Correct.
Cars that finished that race. From 14th on back, those guys pulled out of the track. There was one guy. Todd Cooney, he didn't start the race, but for the rest of them, they all did a DNF. Were they pulling off the racetrack because it was rubber down, you think?
I think at the time of that caution, that last caution at lap 28, there was probably still 18 or 20 cars. There was a few of them that limped across and just went ahead and got on out. But I really think that they just decided that they were going to go ahead and pull off because it was getting to where it was so locked down on the bottom and nobody was really going to go anywhere. You know, they tried keeping the moisture in the track. They did two separate track work sections. They did one after qualifying and one after the B features, but they actually ran the MLR late models as the second feature of the night, but by the time they were done, the track was there was nothing left. You know, they definitely were out there doing the best. You know, Johnny Allen and Whitworth were out there working the track and doing everything they could. But I think being night two of two with those big tire cars and all that type of stuff, which is not you know, something they do all the time. I don't
think
the track just didn't hold together for them.
Yeah. Well, Caleb, I appreciate you calling in and checking in on the show, man. Call anytime you have any kind of updates, wherever you go. We appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, man. Hey, one thing I did want to just touch on was that I don't know if you saw the modifieds or not. They did end up pulling 35 cars, so the total feature purse ended up being, or the win purse ended up being $2,450. They had a few donations in there.
Oh, really?
And
wow.
Yeah, and everybody that won a mod heat were all USMTS regulars, so they pulled a lot of good talent for that field as well.
All right, man. I'll have to go back and take a look at that. Caleb, thanks so much, man. I appreciate you.
All right, Scott.
All right, there you have it. Caleb checking in with us. He was at 81 Speedway, giving us a little bit of an update that was down there. Unfortunately, it wasn't on MAV Plus, but hopefully the next few races will be on MAV Plus. I enjoy watching MLRA myself.
I do, too. Yeah. Will they come back to Lakeside this year? I think they are.
I had their schedule up. But I don't
because
have it
I
now.
I think they come to Lakeside the night after the ASCS race in September.
They do race at Lakeside. I know that. I can't think of the date, though. So, all right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the show. We want to thank Lee Spencer for coming on and all the sound that Austin put together with Jacob Allen, CJ Leary, Logan Wagner, Buddy Kofoit, and Justin Sanders as well. Tomorrow, we're going to have Todd Gilliland. He is a Cup driver. And we're going to talk to the guy that maybe made the fans more happy than anybody else down at Lake Ozark Speedway on Saturday night. Robert Ballew will join us tomorrow here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works for Austin, for my buddy Kirk Elliott. I'm Scott Traylor. We'll see you tomorrow, 12 noon Central Time, right here on Mostly Motorsports.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.